Catharoscardia. You know what that means? You have some idea. I know you do. Cardia. Everybody knows about cardiac today, don't they? You know. Pretty soon, just about everybody in this building is going to have a stent, right? A cardiac stent. I'm ahead of you, but pretty soon everybody's going to, pretty much anyway. We know about cardiac. That's the heart, all right? And that's what we're going to talk about today. Blessed, verse 8 of Matthew 5, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What a statement. Blessed are the pure in heart. What does it mean to be pure in heart? Who are the pure in heart? What is it to be pure? Is there such a thing as being partly pure? Can a person be 50% pure and another person 60 or 70 or 80? Or we're just talking about 100% pure? Well, I can tell you right now, this is talking about 100% pure. And when you think about that, It's a really convicting message. But one of the things I want to emphasize as we go through these Beatitudes, we continue through the Sermon on the Mount, is that whenever we see these qualities of spiritual character, and that's what they are, blessed are the poor in spirit. We talked about that one. Blessed are they that mourn. What kind of mourning? Everybody mourns in some way. And he says, blessed are the meek. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. We need to continually understand that these qualities, as Christ describes them here and uses them, is in the context of the king of citizens of the kingdom of heaven. It's in the context of salvation by the grace of God. These things are not natural to man. They're not natural to man. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. That's a given in the Scripture. So whenever we talk about somebody who's poor in spirit or somebody who's mourning in this way, someone who is meek, someone who hungers and thirsts after righteousness, someone who is merciful, compassionate, we're not talking about in ways that the natural man can attain those things. You understand that. The natural man, and what are we talking about there? I was talking about this on the television program this morning. The natural man is all of us as we are naturally born. And how are we born? What does the Bible say about our birth, our physical first birth? Is that as we fell in Adam, we're born spiritually dead. That means the absence of spiritual life. So that so that we will not receive the things that honor and glorify God, things of the Spirit of God. That's why Christ said we must be born again. But now another thing you have to understand is that Satan has his counterfeits of all of this. There's two things that can deceive here. Number one is the natural man can attain to things that may look like this, but they're not really like this. You know, somebody poor in spirit, you know, somebody who realizes that he's no good, things like that. Mourning, like I said, we all mourn. Everybody mourns. Even the natural man mourns sometimes over things, but not like this, not this mourning. The meek, somebody who's submissive, hunger and thirst after righteousness. The Jews followed after, the unbelieving Jews followed after righteousness, but they didn't attain it, Scripture says. They were hungry and thirsty for righteousness, but it was one that was way lower than what God requires. And that's one of the main themes of the Sermon on the Mount. That's why Christ said, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you'll no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. So they hungered and thirsted after a righteousness, but not God's righteousness. And then merciful. Now, we know unbelievers can do acts of compassion and charity. An atheist, for example. I can tell you about an atheist who gave millions of dollars to charity. Wanted to show mercy to orphans and widows. Well, that's not who Christ is speaking of here. He says here that those who are merciful, it says they shall obtain mercy. He's talking about mercy from God, compassion from God. That is found. Now, the word there is just plain compassion, but it's also in the context of the scripture. Anybody who receives this kind of mercy from God is one who receives mercy that's based upon justice satisfied. That's why last week we went over that the two words for mercy. God be merciful to me, the sinner. So when and you cannot tell the difference between a child of God performing, for example, an act of mercy and an unbeliever performing an act of mercy, except by what? Their testimony. What's your hope? Now that's where we come to the pure in heart. Now, and let me say this. The acts of mercy, for example, the poverty of spirit, in a believer it's all sanctified. It means it's set apart from the world and what the world can attain. And it's set apart by the grace of God. And the motive does also give the difference. An act of mercy performed by a true believer is to be motivated by grace, gratitude, and love. But now, you know, there's a lot of unbelievers who'll say that they do these things not hoping for anything in return. But it's just talk unless they're looking to Christ for all of salvation. Now, that's so. And we'll see that later on. But what this pure in heart, what is the heart? Well, first of all, what is pure? Pure means cleansed. That's what the word means. It means clean. White, spotless, clean. That's what it means. So there's no such thing as degrees of purity in this thought here. This is not doing the best you can. See, if the best you can does not measure up to the standard that God requires. So this pure means cleansed. Blessed are the clean in heart. Now, what is the heart? Well, in the Bible, you know, I think a lot of people, because of the romanticism of poetry and songs in the West, you know, they think of heart as emotions. And they think of it as good intentions. You know what a lot of people, for example, in false Christianity, when they read passages like this, blessed are the pure in heart, you know who they think that the pure in heart are? They are those who have good intentions. And you know you've heard the old saying, that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Incidentally, that's not a biblical verse. But you know, it can be true. The pure in heart are not those who just simply intend to do good. Good intentions. The heart in the Bible, and a lot of times, you know, we do this. I do it too. You know, we'll talk about there's a difference. You know, somebody said salvation is, I heard a preacher say one time, salvation is the difference of 12 inches from here to here. You know, well, not really, but not literally. This heart here in my body is not the heart that's being spoken of here. This beating heart. All right. It's got all those arteries that surround it, and all those chambers, and all those valves that pumps the physical blood. This is not a physical issue here. This is a spiritual thing. So what is the heart? Well, the heart in the Bible always involves the mind, how you think. The Bible says that so as a man thinketh, so is he. Your thoughts, that's who you are. If you really want to know what you are, who you are, don't judge the book by its cover. That's what we say that, don't we? What about your thoughts? That's the mind. Now, it's also the affections. That's the heart. That's that. All this together now. I mean, you don't have inside your chest an organ that's segmented up like this. You know, no. Your mind, your affections. What does that mean? I mean, what you love, what you desire. That's the heart. The desires of the heart. You husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And wives, you love your husbands too. That you're each other's desire in that way. Your children, you love them. You desire the best for them. All right? Do you love the Word of God? That's not a natural love, is it? All right? It's also the will. That's part of the heart. What you will choose. Based upon what you know to be true and what you want to do, your desires, that's what you choose. Why is it the Scripture says that man by nature will not choose the things of God, the things of the glory of God, you see? Because the natural heart is sinful. And we'll see that in just a moment. But now the heart also contains the conscience. Now what is the conscience? Well, in the heart, in the mind, it's the seat of judgment by which you judge the value or the worthlessness of a thing. Now, like for example, somebody comes along and preaches the true gospel. What does the Bible say about the natural man? There, it says the preaching of the cross, the person and work of Christ as the ground of salvation, his blood, his righteousness imputed, his glory, is foolishness to them that are perishing. And we've talked about that. That's how they judge it. I've had people tell me, said, I don't want to hear what you have to say. What are they doing? They're making a judgment out of the natural heart. They're saying, what you have to say is not worth my time or worth my hearing. Certainly not worth my believing. Anybody who hears the gospel preach and walks away unaffected without believing it, what does that tell you about their heart? It tells you that it's the natural heart. And then, so what does the Bible say about the saved? It says, but to them who are being saved, it's the power of God. It's the wisdom of God. This is the glorious, this is the best message, this best news I've ever heard. A righteousness of God that I can call mine, and stand before a holy God who knows me better than I know myself. I know he knows me better than you know me. But he knows me better than I know myself. A righteousness of his that I can call mine and stand before him and be accepted. That's the best news I've ever heard. And that comes from a convicted heart. Pure in heart. That word is katharos kardia. That's what, and the reason I say that is because we get our word, that word pure in heart, we get our word catharsis. You ever heard catharsis? Something that is cathartic? We get our English word cathartic from that. Now in psychology, cathartic means to purify or purge your emotions. Have you ever felt down and all of a sudden a song you like comes on the radio and makes you happy? That song was cathartic. That's what that means. I've done that. Or you see somebody you love and that makes you happy. You're not depressed anymore. That's cathartic. That's what psychology says. In medicine, cathartic means to purge out the impurities. My little nephew one time got into the washroom and decided he was going to eat a cup full of Tide. What'd they do? They took him to the emergency room, and you know what they did? They pumped out his stomach. That was cathartic. They purged his stomach. Somebody swallows poison that you want to purge. That's what that means. In ethics, it's a person who's been purged from sinful, corrupt desires. Not actions now. Desires. One who's free from sin and guilt. And it also describes one who's free from any mixture of dishonesty with truth, like hypocrisy. There's no hypocrisy. No mixture of hypocrisy with sincerity. In other words, it describes one who is blameless and without what the scripture calls guile. Now, who among us, don't raise your hand, who among us can honestly know ourselves and say, I'm standing before you as one who's pure in heart, considering my thoughts, my desires throughout any given day? What's he talking about? You remember I told you the story about the fellow who told me that he doesn't sin anymore. And I asked him, I said, well, if somebody could make a movie of your thoughts, a film of your thoughts, just in one day, and we're going to show them at church on Sunday morning, and you're going to sit right up there in the front of the congregation, we're going to show your thoughts, just your thoughts. I said, how long do you think you would stay in that congregation? Well, first of all, consider our own thoughts and desires and motives and goals, even our own judgments, and ask ourselves, do we have any thoughts? Ask yourself, do I have any thoughts that are sinful? Any desires, motives, goals, or judgments that are sinful? And understand before we answer that question in our own minds that God knows the thoughts of our hearts. He knows the score. We can fool other people, and sometimes we can even fool ourselves, but we can't fool God. Remember Hebrews 4, the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting asunder even to the marrow, discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart. I've got that referenced here. If we're honest, even we who claim to be saved by grace will admit that we struggle constantly against the flesh, which consist in sinful thoughts and sinful desires and motives. Think about it. Paul wrote about it in Romans 7, didn't he? He said, I want to do good, but I can't. Not the good that I want to do now. I want to be like Christ. That's what Paul's saying there. I want to think like Christ, who had no sinful thoughts. But he said, sin that dwells in me keeps me down. In fact, he even made this statement. And here's a man who said in Romans 6, I'm dead to sin, and I'm free from sin. And then in Romans 7:14, he says, I'm a slave to sin. What's he doing? Is he talking? What is he? Is he Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde? Or has he got the two natures, one that's sinless and one that's nothing but sin? Is that what he? No, that's nonsense. What he's simply saying is that in Christ I'm free. I'm not guilty. But in myself I'm still a sinner and I can't rise above it. Oh, I can be a better person. I can do that with the help of God, but I still cannot be rid of sin so as to look within my own heart and based on my thoughts, my motives, my goals, my desires, tell you that I have a perfectly pure heart in that way. I can't do it. I'd be lying. That's a lie. That shows you don't have a pure heart to begin with because you're lying about that. See yourself. Secondly, consider what the Bible says about sin being not simply a matter of actions, but a matter of a bad heart. Where does sin come from? Why, preacher, it's down there at the liquor store. Don't go in there. Don't defile yourself. Oh, it's down there in that movie house. That's where sin is. Don't do that. Taste not, touch not, handle not. Now, what religion says? I remember when I first came down here in 85, there was a couple here who'd gotten back from a seminar where the preacher had told them to go home and purge their homes of everything that causes them to sin. Well, my soul, what you got to do is go home and cut your throat. Sin's not in these things. You know, Christ had that. That's one of the most fundamental biblical principles. Sin is not in things. Now, are there things that I need to stay away from? Yes, and you want to know why? Because it brings out me. Things I don't need to look at. Things I don't need to hear. But it's not because sin is it's in me. It's in the heart. That's what Christ said. Matthew 15, he says, look here, he says, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. And when he starts in, when we get over here and starts in Matthew 5:21, you've heard it said by them of old, thou shalt not kill. What's he doing? He's shown that the law is not just a prohibition on sinful actions, but the law reaches the heart. It's sinful. It's murder to think it. It's adultery to lust after a woman or a woman after a man. That's adultery. What does that make me? You say, I don't want to be around that person. They're a sinner. Why not? We've got something in common. Now, I understand the wisdom that people use. And, you know, when we teach our children, don't hang around with that crowd. Don't hang around with this crowd. I know that. I understand that. I don't want my little grandkids growing up and hang around with a drug crowd. I don't want that. But it's not because they're sinners, because my little grandson's a sinner too. We're all sinners. Well, the Bible shows that this, whatever this purity of heart is, it's not natural to fallen sinful man. None of us by nature have it. And that's proven by the fact, mainly, and listen to this. I want you, don't let this go by you. You know, the sinfulness of man, the depravity of man, is mainly shown by the fact that when we do realize that we've got a problem, sin, and you know just about everybody out here today is going to say, I'm a sinner. Most everybody. But when we realize our problem, we seek catharsis, relief, purging in ourselves, in our religion, in our works, in our sufferings. I remember going to a funeral. I was a little boy, and the preacher, and his whole message was about this lady, poor old lady, and I don't know what she believed. I'd never heard the gospel then, but his whole message was, I know she's in heaven because she suffered here on earth. Well, my friend, there's not enough human suffering that we can go through that'll get us into heaven. Getting into heaven is based on the sufferings of another person. His suffering unto death, the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's how do you find catharsis? That's why I stated that. This catharos cardia. Where do you find relief? That's the issue, isn't it? And Jeremiah said it in Jeremiah 17, the heart's deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's not talking about somebody else, folks. That's talking about me and you in our natural state. We will not, of our own desires, believe and receive God's way of salvation in Christ because it leaves us no room to glory. That's an evil heart of unbelief. That's what Paul calls that. It's what Stephen and others in the Bible called the uncircumcised heart. Remember when Stephen preached the gospel in Acts 7 and they hated what he said? And he said, you stiff-necked, that means proud, self-righteous, unsubmissive, not meek. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. He's talking about spiritual circumcision. Paul spoke of that in Romans chapter 2. He says, he's a Jew, which is one not outwardly, but inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart. What is that circumcision of the heart? Well, I want you to look at Psalm 24 with me. Turn to Psalm 24. The circumcised heart and the pure in heart. Now, here's what I'm leading to. The pure in heart. What is a pure heart? That's the regenerate heart. The born again person. That's who he's talking about. It's the circumcised heart. Circumcision was the physical cutting away of the filth of the flesh. What is the circumcised heart? What is that cutting away of the filth of the flesh? It is when a sinner is brought by the Holy Spirit, he's given a new heart, and God said that, and I've got these scriptures listed in your lesson here. He said, I'll give them a new heart. Now, does that mean that when we are born again, when we're given a new heart, that we no longer have sinful desires, sinful thoughts? No, it doesn't mean that at all. That's not the pure heart that he's talking about. One day we will have that pure heart, that kind of pure heart, when we die and go to be with the Lord. But what he's talking about, and we still have the flesh to deal with. And it does contaminate our thoughts. And it does contaminate our desires and our goals. It contaminates everything we think, say, and do. That's why Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? But this pure heart is one that is purified by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's one that's purified by faith. Not by our believing, but by looking to Christ, whose blood cleanses us from all sin. That's the pure in heart that he's talking about. Look at Psalm 24. Verse 1, he says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein, for he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Who's going to get to God? Everybody, you hear the mountain analogy, we're all going up the mountain, you're going your way, I'm going mine, but we're all going. Well, that's not true. But who's going to ascend into the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? Look at verse 4. He that hath clean hands. That means he who's done no sin. You've not done anything that's sinful. And a pure heart. Who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Wow. That's who's going to get to God. Well, if you base that on works, if you base that on character and conduct, or even enablements, we're not going to make it. I got news for you. If that's what it's based on. See, in light of this, what God's word reveals about us in our natural state, how could any of us say we're blessed? He says, blessed are the pure in heart. And then he says, they shall see God. Talked about it last week. Moses saw God. Saw him who's invisible. How did he see God? God said, you can't stand before me face to face. You can't come to me on your own. On your own merits. You can't do that. But I'll let you see my back parts. And I'm going to what? Hide you in the cleft of the rock. Set you on a rock and I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock. Well, look on. He says, now listen to this. He says in verse 6 or verse 5. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Now, whoever he's talking about, who is going to have clean hands and a pure heart and standing before God and being accepted with God and seeing God, he's somebody that God has saved. You see, now, if you are, listen, if you're born pure and innocent and you live a pure and innocent life and you never have any sinful thoughts or desires, let me tell you something, you don't need salvation. You're okay. If you're sitting on the beach taking in the sun, it'd be useless for the lifeguard to jump in to save you. You're not drowning. But my friend, all of us by nature are drowning in a sea of sin. We need salvation. So whoever he's talking about there, he's going to be talking about the Lord's righteousness and the God of his salvation. And then look at verse 6. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, want to see God, his favor. O Jacob, I'm the Lord. I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Well, where are we going to find this purity? Where are we going to find it? Look at verse 7. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. There's where we're going to find it. The King of glory. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Christ. That's who he's talking about. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. The pure in heart. And what this is basically teaching us is that the pure in heart are those whose hearts are cleansed from the guilt and defilement of all sin. Not the contamination now. Not the influences. But the guilt, the condemnation. And I want you to turn to one verse and I'll hurry and we'll quit. Turn to Hebrews 10. We'll close with this. It's the heart that has, that the condemnation and the guilt that brings condemnation is cleansed by looking to Jesus Christ as the author and finisher of our faith, purified by faith. We know that if God were to judge us at any time based upon our best thoughts, let alone our worst, we'd be condemned forever. But in Christ, by the washing and cleansing of his blood, all the guilt and all the power of sin to keep me from looking to him has been washed away. Look at Hebrews 10 and verse 19. Now who's going to ascend into the hill of the Lord? He says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holiest. Who's going to stand before God? Who's going to stand in his holy place? Having boldness, confidence, liberty to enter the holiest. By the blood of Jesus. There it is. There's the pure heart. By a new and living way, which he, Christ, hath consecrated, made new for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. This is my body, which is broken for you. Remember? And having a high priest over the house of God. Now look at verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart. A true heart is a pure heart, a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil, that's a guilty, condemned conscience. That's the kind of heart that finds catharsis in the works of men. See? But our hearts have been sprinkled. Sprinkled with what? The blood of Christ and an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. What's the pure in heart? Who are the pure in heart? They're sinners saved by the grace of God who look to Christ for all salvation, for all cleansing. What can wash away my sins? There's no other catharsis. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. All right.